What's up, everybody? My name is Athena, and you're here to listen to Vanished in the Valley. Today, we are going to talk about some of the conspiracy theories surrounding Antarctica. And just a little side note, there are a shit ton of conspiracy theories about Antarctica. So we will just kind of touch on a few, but I highly recommend trying to dig into this one because there's like 9 million rabbit holes. And unfortunately, I'm going to also have to touch on this whole fucking Sean Combs, that rapper dude, what's going on with that, because I've read some court documents, and what I'm kind of getting from it is this motherfucker looks like Jeffrey Epstein 2.0. So yeah, it's all fucked up. There's like 78-page court document I went through earlier today, and yeah, totally gives off Jeffrey Epstein vibes. We are also going to talk about this solar eclipse that's coming up in April. And there are all kinds of little whispers in the conspiracy corners of the internet, so I will let you guys know what everyone is saying. So, sit back, get ready for this. Let's get the Sean Combs shit out of the way. So like I was just saying, I found some court documents of a lawsuit that has been filed against this fucker. And if you read these documents, it literally sounds just like Jeffrey Epstein. Apparently, this motherfucker had cameras installed in a bunch of the different rooms at his houses, and I mean like multiple properties. And some of the conspiracy theorists people are saying this whole ass big raid that the Department of Homeland Security pulled off the other day was not necessarily to charge Sean Combs with anything. But it was to collect all of the videographic evidence that has been filmed over the years by Sean Combs. There are allegations of underage sex workers being brought over to his house, and then different celebrities and or politicians go and fuck these children. And then Sean Combs has all of this on videotape, a la Jeffrey Epstein 2.0. There are also people saying that Sean Combs is working for the CIA or other deep state entities to create another honey trap type situation like Jeffrey Epstein did. So let's just kind of dig into some of these court documents and then we're going to move the fuck on. The court documents I'm referring to is from a civil lawsuit that names Sean Combs as the defendant and Rodney Jones as the plaintiff. This is a fucking long ass document. It's like 73, 78 pages, something like that. But going through it, this guy, Mr. Jones, is alleging that Sean Combs would basically spike people's drinks with various different types of drugs. Some of the reports are it's GHB, some say it's ecstasy, and some say it's a mix of fucking drugs. And the women's drinks would be spiked differently than the men's drinks. Well, this Mr. Jones guy is alleging that fucking Sean Combs repeatedly made sexual advances to him and drugged him on a few occasions, as well as kind of quote unquote forced him to bring back sex workers to his various homes. Apparently, Sean Combs has a house in Florida, there's some in the Virgin Islands, LA, all that shit. This Mr. Jones guy is basically alleging in Florida, the Miami home, is where these underage sex workers would be brought. And like I was just saying, then they would all be drugged. And Mr. Jones states one time he was drugged. He woke up in the bed with one of the underage sex workers and Sean Combs. There's all kinds of allegations that Sean Combs likes the cock. So, I mean, I don't think that's too fucking far out there or crazy. I could totally see that. I'm trying to stay away from, the whole hip-hop conspiracy angle because that is a whole ass another rabbit hole in itself. But that just kind of basically states that if you want to actually make it either in the music industry or Hollywood and you're a male, you basically have to let these higher uptight people have sex with you. You got to get penetrated. So that's just that side of the conspiracy, which we're not going to go down because, yeah, that would take fucking hella days. And if you want to read more about that or watch videos, I'm sure that shit's still all over YouTube. But anyway, back to Sean Combs. So reading through these documents, Mr. Jones also names Cuba Gooding Jr. in this lawsuit. And he's stating that Sean Combs was trying to, quote unquote, share him with Cuba Gooding Jr. And in this fucking, in these documents, you guys, there's literally pictures to accompany the different allegations that are laid out in the document. And I will leave a link to it in the show notes if you want to go check it out. It's kind of a long read, but I mean, there may be something to it. I don't doubt for a fucking second that Sean Combs had sex workers over at his houses. And I definitely don't doubt that they were underage. But what my kind of angle in this whole thing is, was that Sean Combs was using bribery material against different people because he had them on camera having sex with underage people and some people caught up in gay fucking sex romps. Sounds exactly like Jeffrey Epstein. And in the document, it's even alleging that Sean Combs had his own version of Ghislaine Maxwell. The woman I'm talking about's name is Christina Karam. And apparently she was acting as the quote-unquote chief of staff for Sean Combs. It's alleged that this woman basically ran, organized, executed this whole quote-unquote RICO enterprise. Because there was drug distribution, there were times when guns were seen being handed out to various men dressed in black. And this woman was also responsible for getting sex workers and bringing them back to the house. So that's kind of why this parallel is being drawn between her and Ghislaine. So one of the other things I found kind of interesting related to a shooting that happened at a studio that Sean Combs had organized a bunch of people to be there, and it kind of just all went to shit. Hold on, I'm going to read this shit from the court documents. This part I'm about to tell you guys about is on page 8, and it starts off by kind of labeling it the Chalice Recording Studio shooting. September 12th, 2022, Sean Combs held a writers and producers camp at Chalice Recording Studios, and that was in Los Angeles. At this whole little fucking camp, Sean Combs was there, Sean Combs' son, a friend of his son named G. That's the only way he's referred to in these documents. Apparently, one night during this camp, Sean Combs and his son and G were in a heated conversation. The conversation was moved out of the studio and into a restroom adjacent to where Mr. Jones was sitting. Now, this is all being told from the perspective of Mr. Jones. He stated he was approximately 2 feet away from the bathroom when the gunshots rang out. Jones said he heard multiple gunshots. Now, this isn't even the crazy part. This is just kind of a description of what went down that night. After the shooting ended, a crowd gathered around the bathroom. And when the door opened, Combs, his son, exited. G was lying on the restroom floor in the fetal position, holding his stomach and bleeding out of his leg and hip area. Finally, after I guess people realized this fool's about to bleed out, somebody goes and puts pressure on the wound. Jones stated he lifted G, brought him into the ambulance that had been called. And at this point, Mr. Jones is saying Combs and his son disappeared to another part of the studio. Combs gave strict instructions to inform the police that he had nothing to do with the shooting. He also forced Jones to lie to the police by telling them that G was shot standing outside the studio by a drive-by assailant. If you look back on different reports of this whole shooting, that's exactly what it says. Like, here's one headline. Man shot outside party at Hollywood recording studio. In the court documents, there's actually pictures of the bathroom where the guy was shot. And you can clearly see there's a shit ton of blood all over the ground. So, I mean, it's pretty fucking obvious the shooting did not occur outside. What I'm kind of wondering is how the LAPD didn't investigate the shooting and find out the shooting actually took place inside of the studio, not outside. Because it's never really been reported that the shooting was actually inside. And that three people were in the bathroom, Sean Combs, his son, and this G guy. And they hear shots, a whole ass crowd of people hears the shots, and the bathroom door opens, and G shot on the ground, and Sean Combs and the son just walk away. No investigation. Huh, LAPD, what the fuck's going on over there? And if you remember right, there was also another shooting hella days ago that Sean was involved in a nightclub. And he was actually arrested and held in jail for a couple of days, but of course, the charges were dropped. I get that there's rich people justice and regular people justice, but this is a little fucking crazy. This guy's involved in multiple shootings, drugs, all of this shit, and never gets charged, prosecuted, nothing. No fucking prison sentence. So that's kind of why people are saying this is another little bit of evidence that Sean Combs was definitely working for some sort of government agency to get other powerful people entrapped with underage sex workers. And then, you know, you could bribe them. You can control them. Like Jeffrey Epstein 2.0. So let's just go on the theory for a second that Sean Combs did have all of this video evidence against powerful people of them having sex with underage girls. That leads me to my next point. Why the fuck is DHS doing the raids on this fool's house? Why isn't the FBI? Because wouldn't that be like an FBI type crime to investigate? You know, interstate sex trafficking of underage girls. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely in this clown world see DHS going in there just to confiscate all of the electronic devices and other evidence of nasty ass motherfuckers having sex with children. And, you know, hey, maybe there's a powerful politician, whoever. They have evidence on somebody they did not want to have evidence on. Another little vein of this conspiracy theory is that Sean Combs was an asset to some sort of alphabet soup group. But with the continued drug use and his just fucking kind of going wild out there, that these groups felt they had lost control of him. So now it's time to take him down. It also kind of reminds me of Jeffrey Epstein. And I want to know, why the fuck is the mainstream media not all over these court documents? Anybody can fucking find them on the internet. I don't know. There's just a lot of questions, and I don't want to fucking spend any more time on this stupid shit. And like I said at the beginning, I'm only bringing this up because it literally sounds like Jeffrey Epstein. But yeah, let's move the fuck on now. Now we are going to get to the good stuff, the conspiracy theories relating Antarctica. And there are a shit ton, like I was saying earlier. There are a lot. But one of the main ones I kind of want to focus on is the so-called Ark of Gabriel. Some of you out there may be like, who the fuck is Gabriel? But let's just get like a little breakdown. In the Abrahamic religions, Gabriel is the archangel with the power to announce God's will to mankind. He's mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, the New Testament, the Quran, and a lot of other different books. This is the angel we are talking about when I'm talking about the Ark of Gabriel. In the Bible, the archangel Gabriel is the one who told Mary she would give birth to Jesus and directed the Quran to the prophet Muhammad. Now, supposedly, Gabriel also entrusted an ark or box of immense power to the founder of the Muslim faith. Muhammad was told to bury the ark in a shrine at a place of worship for it to be brought out as the end of the world approaches. According to some people, they believe Saudi Arabia uncovered the ark during a construction project at the Grand Mosque, and they believe this ark was given to the Russians, and more specifically, the Russian military. So there are people that are saying that Russian military is going to take the ark to Antarctica, possibly to a former Nazi UFO base. And we will touch on that whole situation a little bit later. Apparently, the custodian of the two holy mosques in Mecca contacted the Patriarch Kirill of Moscow, who is the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, just kind of to warn him that the builders found a mysterious box while working on the massive redevelopment of the Grand Mosque on September 11th. Supposedly, when the 15-man digging crew tried to remove the box, there was a huge burst of energy that came out and it instantly killed the entire team. It toppled a huge construction crane and a lot. I mean, this shit was in the news about this whole fucking construction crane toppling. They blamed it on high wind. But a fun little side note is Osama bin Laden's family actually owned the company who owned that crane. 111 people died during the whole revamp. There was a second attempt to remove the ark on September 24th, which caused a massive plasma emission. And apparently in that one, more than 4,000 people died. If you go and like look through mainstream media articles, they're reporting that 2,000 people were killed, but they're blaming the death on a stampede during the Hajj pilgrimage. After this mass death, whether it's 2,000, 4,000, whatever, after that happened, the custodian of these masjids or mosques, whatever you want to call them, then contacted the Russian Patriarch regarding an ancient Islamic manuscript saved from Roman Catholic crusaders by the Russian Orthodox Church, entitled, quote, Gabriel's Instructions to Muhammad. Apparently nobody can find evidence that this document ever existed. There's no fucking pictures of it, nothing like that. But it tells how the archangel entrusts the Ark to Muhammad and told him to bury it at a place of worship the angels used before the creation of man, until it would be uncovered in the days of resurrection, like aka the fucking apocalypse, Jesus is coming back and we're all fucked. After Putin hears this news, he sent naval research vessel Admiral Vladiminsky to collect the Ark from Saudi port city of Jeddah, which is quote-unquote the gateway to Mecca, and he had instructions to bring it to Antarctica. Two Russian battle satellites were launched to protect the Admiral Vladiminsky and its precious cargo, and a fleet of Russian warships, a salvage tug, and an oil tanker. And at this point, all of those vessels had been carrying out maneuvers in the Indian Ocean, and they were ordered to rendezvous with Admiral Vladiminsky. So some of the story can be corroborated. Admiral Vladiminsky did go to Jeddah on, quote, military religious mission. And apparently no one has ever explained why. Like, not even like mainstream media, nothing like that. Nobody knows. There's no official reason given for why Admiral Vladiminsky was over hanging out in the Saudi port Jeddah. Russian media described this visit as a quote-unquote business visit. Russian Navy spokesman Igor Daigalo said, quote, the vessel's crew had an opportunity to rest. Food and water supplies were replenished to required norms. But check this part out. It's kind of fucking strange. The cargo included capsules of Russian soil to be placed in areas of military glory and burial sites of Russian sailors. And at this time, the visit was really fucking strange because the international relations between Saudi Arabia and Russia were very poor. Another little tidbit that can be corroborated is Russia did launch two new military satellites right before Admiral Vladiminsky's visit, and four Russian warships were carrying out a drill with the Indian Navy nearby. This quote-unquote conspiracy theory was huge across the internet in Saudi Arabia. And that's kind of where the conspiracy theory ends. This fucking Ark of Gabriel was discovered. Saudi Arabia asked Russia for its help, and Russia complied and brought it to Antarctica. Some people are saying, like I was talking about a bit earlier, that it was brought to a former Nazi UFO base, which kind of leads me into Operation High Jump. Little background on that is in 1947, Admiral Richard E. Byrd led an expedition called Operation High Jump to Antarctica. This was his fourth expedition to Antarctica. There was a huge naval force, Task Force 68, that accompanied Admiral Byrd and was commanded by Rear Admiral Richard H. Cruzan. Task Force 68 included flagship USS Mount Olympus, aircraft carrier USS Philippine Sea, 13 Navy support ships, 6 helicopters, 6 flying boats, 2 seaplane tenders, and 15 other aircraft. In total, the number of personnel involved was 4,700. I have kind of covered this on the episodes where I was kind of going over that document that was supposedly from Russian NKVD, and it is kind of what the Russians discovered, the Ananarbi found, and it definitely touches on Admiral Byrd's expedition, and it goes into great detail about this alien battle, the UFO battle that met this expedition when they tried to get into Antarctica. So just check this little tidbit out too. Secretary of Defense at the time, James Vincent Forrestal, committed suicide. He allegedly jumped out of a window of a psychiatric ward in Maryland shortly after Operation High Jump. He was babbling about aliens in the days before he killed himself, or was suicided. Nobody really knows. Forrestal reportedly wanted to take a more truthful approach to informing the U.S. public about the whole UAP-UFO situation. Like I said, we're just going to touch on a bunch of these conspiracy theories about Antarctica. If you want to know more about Operation High Jump, go check out those older episodes that are entitled Something About the Ananarbi. You'll find them. They're way back there, though. Another fun little conspiracy theory is there's a Nazi base with advanced unconventional weapons. Some people say that's where Adolf Hitler escaped to after World War II. New Swabia was explored by the Nazis in early 1939 and possibly led to discoveries of aliens, demons, and an entrance to inner Earth, which, that sounds pretty fucking interesting. It is also corroborated in the document I was just talking about that the Soviets had. The entrance to hollow Earth theory, which sounds really fucking cool. And people are saying there's both a North and South Pole entrance. Apparently, no one is authorized to fly over the poles. And if you try to just go to Antarctica, yeah, good fucking luck. You don't need a passport or anything like that, but you will be tracked. And I have watched different videos of sailors saying they were turned away and not allowed to even get close to Antarctica. There is another theory that says there's an ancient pyramid and flash frozen human bodies there that need to be carefully excavated and preserved. They say there's a submerged and lost continent there with pre-Adamite ancient civilization, or maybe even Atlantis. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen that map, the Peary Reese map that shows Antarctica free of ice, which contradicts the dating of the map. Some people say that this whole flash freezing that has preserved all of these alien bodies is from the poles shifting thousands of years ago. Some people say there is an enormous wall of ice blocking us from, quote, other lands. And that kind of goes into the vein of the flat Earth conspiracy theory. There's hundreds of fresh water under lakes, and they've been isolated for millions of years. Russian scientists supposedly discovered a highly intelligent giant squid / octopus. They named Organism 46B. I've read stories about this before, and these scientists found out the hard way. This creature could shape change and mimic the shape of divers. It could paralyze their prey from 150 feet away. Supposedly, they captured one of these creatures, and they're secretly trying to weaponize it. According to the Book of Enoch, fallen angels are imprisoned in a mountain in Antarctica and are still alive. And this is based upon research of the Forbidden Book of Enoch. They say some Nephilim, a giant hybrid offspring of the fallen angels and daughters of men, could also be flash frozen and trapped there too. Now check this fucking little tidbit out. Buzz Aldrin, after being evacuated from Antarctica, tweeted, quote, "We are all in danger. It is evil itself." And he posted a picture of the Antarctica pyramid. And this was in 2016. And apparently after this, the tweet was deleted. Some people say that's just a conspiracy theory. He never did that. But who fucking knows? There are some islands around Antarctica. And of course, one of them's name is Rothschild's Island. There's another one called Deception Island. There is one called Coronation. Delta. Omicron. Sound familiar, like a little old fucking psyop they just pulled? And even a little bit more nefarious, the EU Central Bank President and Klaus Schwab met on these islands a couple of years ago in December. Check out some of these conspiracy theories. Like I said, there's a shit ton, and that is just some of them. But with that many conspiracy theories, it definitely makes me wonder what the fuck is actually going down in Antarctica. And why aren't people free to travel there without being fucking harassed and molested by these authorities? Because there is a treaty, an international fucking treaty, that states no country fucking owns any part of Antarctica, that it's supposedly just being used for scientific research. Who knows? But if you guys know about any of these other conspiracy theories relating to Antarctica, send them my way, because this shit is interesting as fuck. Moving on now to this eclipse. People are losing their motherfucking mind. I've read, actually I know it's true, but Israel, they're gonna fucking sacrifice a ginger cow. They think it's, you know, some prophecy. The fucking Antichrist will be revealed and Jesus will be coming back. And interestingly enough, CERN is going to start back up their fucking proton bullshit between April 8th and April 10th. Yeah, so let's have a fucking solar eclipse. Religious people are losing their fucking mind. Hey, CERN, why don't you come into the mix and fucking make people even more crazy? I'm not sure why people are so fucking crazy about this solar eclipse and none of the other ones, because I've seen solar eclipse before. I mean, it was cool and all, but I never thought the fucking world was going to end. But in this clown world era, who fucking knows? Anything is possible. According to a map of this solar eclipse shit that's about to go down, there is an intersection where the eclipse totality path is going to run. Basically, it's on the New Madrid fault line, and it is theorized that this fault line is capable of a mega quake. Like, kind of like the ones that, you know, everyone says California is going to have a fat earthquake and fall off the fucking map. So people are saying this X on the map where the totality path is right on a fault line, like a fucked up fault line. And people are saying it's going to fucking break the country into a couple of pieces, maybe three or four. I don't fucking know. Something that's kind of feeding the fucking conspiracy theorists is a bunch of states are going to declare a state of emergency. They're going to have chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear specialists accompanying 100 plus law enforcements. I've seen a bunch of stories where scientists are telling people to wear green and red, and people are losing their minds over that as well. Just a little example of what Oklahoma is going to do. They are going to have Oklahoma National Guard, and they will be present for the total solar eclipse. 22 members of an elite chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear unit will be housed. Residents are being urged to stock up with 1 to 2 weeks of food in advance of this event. They're saying basically different like cell phone towers, communication facilities may be overloaded and fail. Now, the government cheese is even requesting residents to prep with batteries, clean water filtration systems, medical first aid supplies. All government and official business offices will be closed on April 8th until further notice. Like, what's going on over there, Oklahoma? You guys know something that we don't? I mean, is the whole ass fucking electrical grid about to go down? But there is enough strange stuff going on surrounding this eclipse that it really should make people kind of pay attention and wonder, like, why is there so much crazy shit regarding this specific solar eclipse? As far as a bunch of states declaring a state of emergency, there is or can be a logical explanation. I found this post on Reddit, and it states, the last time the eclipse came through in 2017, I was in Wyoming, which is the least populated state in the U.S. Despite that, you would have thought someone dumped the population of L.A. County into an area with the infrastructure to support 60,000 people. Cell phone coverage sucked because there was so many people there. Traffic was a fucking nightmare for 3 days. Some gas stations shut down because they ran out of a fuel supply. Grocery shopping was utterly ridiculous for 3 days. So, having said all this, check this out. There's actual, like, eclipse thread on Reddit, and let me just kind of read this to you guys. Just some quick facts about 4/8/24. First thing is some believers believe the world is going to experience an event called, quote, the 3 days of darkness. These eclipses happen every 7,000 years, so they're extremely rare. The second eclipse totality will last over 4 minutes. When that happens, it's also an exceptionally rare event. A side note, during the eclipse, all the planets are aligned with a comet. You will be able to see the comet in the sky with a naked eye. It'll be right next to the sun when it's blacked out. The comet is called the Devil's Comet, and it comes around every 70 years. The second path crosses over 6 towns called Nineveh, same name as the city in Jonah, where he was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and was sent to warn of its destruction. The eclipse creates an X over the United States. The eclipses are 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days apart. The X connects over Carbondale, Illinois. This area of Illinois is known as Little Egypt. So yeah, there are definitely some weird shit going on with this eclipse. So it will be kind of interesting to see what actually goes down, if anything, or is the whole ass fucking world about to end? Who knows? Your guess is as good as mine. Another fun little fact about this eclipse, NASA will fire 3 rockets at the eclipse under the project named APEP, the name of which was inspired by the ancient Egyptian serpent god, which tried to destroy the sun. And a little side note, it's not just fucking Oklahoma going all next level. This is from a police department in Ohio. It states, on April 8th, we will be in the path of totality of the total solar eclipse. We have been advised to expect an influx of visitors to our area to view this event. The last time one happened in Ohio was 1806. There may be so many visitors that it could impact cellular service. It will be completely dark around 3:11 p.m., but it will start getting dark around 2 p.m. The police go on to ask the citizens to be aware of the potential influx in visitors and traffic. They're telling them basically to treat it like an upcoming snowstorm. Get medicine, get food, don't do any fucking errands on April 8th. And this police department is even saying they're going to have extra staffing working and they'll have zero tolerance for vehicles that stop in roadways to view the eclipse. There's a lot of fucking hype going on about this eclipse, but there's also a lot of strange coinkydinks. Like, why the fuck is CERN firing this shit up on April 8th? Why the fuck is NASA shooting rockets at this thing? And yeah, the whole Israeli sacrificial cow shit. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what's going on. We got a little bit more than a week until this shit goes down. So if you want, prepare for it. Get your medicine together. Get your fucking animal food together. Get your own food together. Get some water, because who fucking knows? Eclipses have been known to trigger earthquakes. So like I said earlier, maybe there's going to be a massive fucking earthquake in the totality path. Maybe it's going to be in California, or maybe nothing's going to fucking happen. But with all the strangeness and the clown world fucking shit we're going through, I wouldn't be surprised by anything at this point in the clown world. Moving on now, check this shit out. I found this story on the Telegraph. The title is Women's Team with 5 Transgender Players Broke Opponent's Leg and Had Parents Fearing for Girls' Safety. This is just fucking next level. 5 fucking tranny dudes. What the fuck? So a women's football competition has been branded misogynist after it was won by a team featuring 5 transgender players. Flying Bats FC won every match they played during the 4-week Beryl Ackroyd Cup, including a 10-0 victory in which one of their trans players scored a double hat trick. I don't even know what the fuck a double hat trick is, but whatever. Since they won their last game in Sydney, Australia, 4-0, it has emerged organizers had earlier held a crisis meeting during which rival teams were warned that forfeiting games against the Bats would result in disciplinary action and could even be viewed as, quote, an act of discrimination. So they're fucking telling these girls, like, you have to play against these huge-ass men, and if you don't, you're fucking discriminating? Get the fuck out of here. One of these girls' legs got broken. Check this out. One of these transgender dudes, he's 6'2", okay? 6'2". The girl whose leg was broken, 5'6". And this motherfucker totally outweighed her. Australia, bro, you okay down there? Like, why the fuck would you ever tell these girls that you have to play against these men? And if you don't, you're fucking transphobic. Fuck. This kind of shit is just fucking, it's infuriating. Like, women's sports are a fucking joke now. It's not even women's sports anymore. It's boohoo baby men that couldn't fucking compete against other men now coming over to the female side of sports and just fucking rocking on them. But don't be a transphobe. Go fucking play against somebody whose fucking body has a muscle mass so much larger than a female's. They weigh more. There's so many differences in biological males and biological females. I can't believe anybody even has to fucking say this. And that's like not even the only fucking abomination in girls' sports shit that's going on right now. Biological male athlete Lizzie Bidwell won the girls' New England championship high jump. If this fool had competed in the boys' high jump event, he would have underperformed last place, 21st, by 4 inches. The winner of the boys' event jumped over 7 feet compared to Lizzie's 5'9" performance. So people need to wake the fuck up. You've got daughters, fucking protect these girls. Don't let them fucking compete against biological males. Like, what in the clown world? Fuck you guys. All right, you guys, that's about it for this episode. But before I get out of here, I have to say what's up to our top 3 downloading states, which are California, New York, and Texas. That's what's up, you guys. Thank you for listening. If you have a rabbit hole that I should check out, send it to me at vanishingthevalley@gmail.com. As far as our international downloaders, we have Australia in first, the UK in second, Canada in third, and Portugal is back in fourth. Thank you guys so much for checking out the podcast. Come over to Reddit to my sub, which is r/vanishedinthevalley, and say what's up. Until next week, be aware, and don't forget your pepper spray. Ciao, ciao.